Blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 276, stanzas 1 and 4. Thou, O Lord, art God alone. Everlasting is thy throne. Through the ages men shall sing praise to heaven's eternal King. 1 and 4 of Psalter 276. Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in Psalm 2. Psalm 2, but first we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the nations and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, "Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. And thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal God, we have read that solemn portion of thy holy word, wherein thy servant so long ago did testify of that wrath that thou wouldest pour out upon thine enemies, those that were in rebellion against thee. And so we may see it also in the history of thy church, when thou hast set thy king upon thy holy Mount Zion, and thou didst destroy before thy servant all the enemies that were round about him, and that thou didst give peace in thy land. Lord, thou knowest by nature we are also such rebellious creatures, with no desire for thee, not a thought, not a longing, not a hunger after the true and the living God. Self-satisfied in the way that we have chosen, in the departure from thee, in the service of the world, with the love of the world dwelling in our hearts, and then careless as we go to a never-ending eternity. Lord, we need that Thou would stop us upon our way. That is not the work of men. That is not the work of Thy servants. That is the work of Thy Holy Spirit. And Lord, it is for this that we beseech Thee even yet once more in this Thy holy day. As Thou hast commanded us to do, to ask it of Thee. Oh, that Thou would pour forth Thy Holy Spirit, that Thou would open the windows of heaven, that Thou may pour out a blessing upon us and upon our dear children. Thou who hast come once into this world in the flesh, Thou who hast departed again, to take with Thee our human nature into heaven. And Thou who hast promised to send forth another Comforter, and one that would remain with Thy church forever, one who would instruct them in the truth, one that would bring to remembrance all things that Thou had said unto them. Lord, and we also need Him. And then we stand in need of that same Spirit to come unto us and unto our children, and to open the eyes of our understandings, and that we may be given the knowledge of the truth, and that we may see the reality of our state and our condition before Thee. Oh, that Thou may come then, and that Thou may open our poor blind eyes, and that Thou would raise the dead, and that Thou may give life in the midst of us and within us for the first time and also by renewal, to stir it up in the life of Thy children, and to grant it in the life of those who are yet dead in trespasses and in sins. Lord, we beseech Thee for Thy mercy. We beseech Thee for Thy grace, that is, for those who are undeserving. It is for those who have brought themselves into a great, miserable condition from which we cannot deliver ourselves. Oh, for such a cause Thou hast sent Thy Son into this world. Thou hast declared it in Thy word. Thou hast given that word unto us and unto our dear children, that we may read it, that we may preach it. Oh, that Thou would also come with Thy Spirit then, that it may never testify against us, but that it may be a savor of life unto us and our dear children. Lord, wilt Thou instruct Thy own church in the days that we live in, wherein that faith is so very small, wherein Thou dost say Thyself, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth? But oh, that that cry may yet be born, and by renewal in the hearts of Thy dear children. Oh, that there may be exercises that Thou Thyself would try it, Lord, and that Thou may bring in the inner chamber before Thee. Oh, that Thou may bring even into the court, that there may be a further knowledge of self, but also instruction in that blessed knowledge of the Redeemer, of Him who has come to give Himself for those who have sinned against Thee. Oh, then there is peace, then there is rest, and then there is comfort. But Lord,
Then there is also glory to thy name. What manner of man is this? Oh, they shall glorify thee. And it will be by beginnings here below. Oh, may it be heard. And that true song in the midst of us and of our dear children, remember them also on their journey with us to eternity. When we are young, then we think to have our life before us. But we know not the day of our death. And it can be that we are so quickly and so suddenly cut off. Oh, then that thou may bind it upon the hearts also of our dear children, that they also must die and appear before thee, and that they might learn to hasten for the sake of their life, and that it may be a zeal that is not of man, but that is of thee, because otherwise it will come to nothing. Lord, wilt thou look on all the afflicted ones in this world, all that have crosses known unto thee, be with widows, widowers, and orphans, and all those that mourn also in the days in which we are, those that have stood in the week that is gone by an open grave. May thou be on the right and on the left of the widow, and also the family, the large family. Oh, that the calling may yet be sanctified, and that we may not be as the beasts of the field that have no understanding. Oh, give us, Lord, a little impression in our hearts where we cannot give it to ourselves. And wilt thou give us to hasten to come into that refuge and that alone is safe? Wilt thou remember also those that are not married and that have no children and for whom this may be a burden? Lord, when also in this morning hour, then those burdens for such can increase. But may thou be near unto them. And wilt thou give thy own presence and thy own nearness. And then there shall be peace. And wilt thou give reconciliation also with all thy ways. Oh, that we in all thy ways may be able to say that the Lord is so right, but that the Lord is also so good. Wilt thou be also with all that go forth to bring thy word, thy servants over the length and the breadth of the whole world, and the office bearers that labor also in that same work, be with our brother elder, who is in our sister flock in this afternoon and evening. May thou make it also for him an easy task and a pleasure in thy house this day. And may thy presence dwell also among them. Be with our school principals and teachers and all that labor therein day by day. Bless our children. Remember those thy servants that are upon the mission fields and that labor far from their loved ones, and also those that are persecuted in this world for the sake of thy holy name. Wilt thou encourage, strengthen, bless, and comfort them this day, and give out of thy fullness, out of the storehouses of Joseph. Remember our nation, our rulers and judges in our land. May thou give them true fear in their hearts of thee, and a desire to walk in accordance with thy commandments. Put away the sins of our time, wherein our nation does steep itself, and wherein we do make ourselves so guilty, and wherein we do bring upon ourselves thy great judgments. Lord, may thou not deal with us as our sins deserve, but may thou open our eyes before that thou dost speak from thy holy throne to say, cut them off. Lord, may thou yet have dealings with us in mercy and bring us to a place where we may cry to thee, the living and the true God, and where we may turn again unto thy commandments. Be with all that are in the prisons. Give true repentance. Be with all handicapped ones, blind, lame, deaf, and dumb, and all that have difficulties in the body or in the mind. Wilt thou look on us further in this afternoon hour? Lord, when this flock has come for instruction, and thou knowest that we have no wisdom, and we do not know how to bring forth the blessed treasures that thy word contains. O, our instructors from so long ago have taught so many things, but give us also what we need to enter into those blessed mysteries, and that we may bring forth things new and old out of thy law. O Lord, leave not thy people destitute under our work here in thy house and in this place, that there may be food in this place for those who are hungry and thirsty after righteousness, and that thy name may be glorified within the hearts of sinners. Help us then, Lord, and show it by the fruits thereof. We ask it in the forgiveness of all that is sinful. For Jesus' sake, amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 194, all stanzas. His wide dominion shall extend from sea to utmost sea, and unto earth's remotest bounds his peaceful rule shall be. 1 through 6 of Psalter 194. Congregation, we read in Hosea 1, verse 10, "Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, 'Ye are not my people,' there it shall be said unto them, 'Ye are the sons of the living God.'" Who really can understand, can express what that is to be called the Son of God? A child of God. To be the Son of Man, that is already a great privilege. That we may be a rational creature. That is not the privilege of the animals. That is not the privilege of the angels. To be a Son of Man. To be the son of a great man in this world, to be the son of a king, that also is a great blessing. That has with it privileges that are in this life. But congregation, what is it to be the Son of God? What is it to be called a child of the Most High, the Triune, the Living God? That is a blessing that is above every blessing in this world. Do we see it so? And yet it is a blessing that brings with it also a great responsibility. And we wish with the help of the Lord to consider something with you of this in this afternoon out of Lord's Day 13. Questions 33 and 34. Lord's Day 13. Questions 33 and 34. Question 33, why is Christ called the only begotten Son of God, since we are also children of God? Answer, because Christ alone is the eternal and natural Son of God. But we are children adopted of God by grace, for His sake. Question 34, wherefore callest thou Him our Lord? Answer, because He hath redeemed us, both soul and body, from all our sins. Not with gold or silver, but with His precious blood, and hath delivered us from all the power of the devil, and thus hath made us His own property. So for our Lord's Day. Why Christ is called Son and Lord. First, we want to consider that name, the only begotten Son of God, from question and answer 33. And second, to consider the name Lord from question and answer 34. So why Christ is called Son and Lord, first Son, and second Lord. Last week's, then, we have considered something of the personal name and also the official names of the Lord Jesus. That is His name of Jesus, that is Savior, and the name of Christ, that is Anointed. And in them, we have heard something of the great consolation and the great comfort that those names are to a church that is in need of a Savior, to a church that is in need of one who is anointed, one who is appointed by God Himself. Thus, there is no comfort in it for the mere professing church. How is that for us? Does it remain for us but a doctrine? But does it remain for us that which we have received in our mind? And has there never come a place for these blessed names of that mediator within our heart? And now this Lord's Day is speaking about two more names of the Lord. That is, Son and Lord. And then they are again names which have so much meaning, value, and comfort for the afflicted church of God. Why is Christ called the only begotten Son of God? We know that even from the time that the Lord Jesus was here upon the world, that there were so many that have denied the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was one of the very reasons that the Pharisees have brought that the Lord Jesus ought to be crucified, because they said that He made Himself to be the Son of God. Now we know that in the early centuries that the divinity of the Lord Jesus was especially rejected by heretics which were in the north of Egypt, that were in the area of Alexandria, that they have denied the divinity of Christ. And that they have said that the Lord Jesus was a great prophet and that we need to follow Him as our example in this world. Then there were those also in those places, of course, as it was in other parts of the world where the church existed, that have taken it upon themselves to make copies of the Word of God. They had not, boys and girls, printing presses as we do today. But then the Word of God was copied by hand. And these errors concerning the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ being prevalent in that area of Alexandria, these errors have also worked themselves in to the copies of that Word of God. It is natural that the churches of the world who stood for the true Godhead of the Lord Jesus wanted to have nothing to do with those copies which came from that area of Alexandria, and therefore they were not used very much by the true church. And therefore, those copies, when they have not been used very much, have remained in relatively good condition. And it is for this reason that some of those defective Alexandrian manuscripts still remain unto this day. And those that have attempted to make new versions of the Scriptures, they have used that argument that since these are older, they are better, which is naturally not the truth at all. But these Alexandrian manuscripts, they have been used as a basis for certain of the versions of the Scriptures that we find in our areas today. For example, the New International Version, the Revised Version, the New English Bible, the American Standard Version, they are all versions of the Bible that are based on these defective Alexandrian manuscripts. And congregation, what is now the great danger? The great danger is that these are set forth to be the Word of God. And there is in them a denial of the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ, a weakening of the divinity of the mediator. And that is just what man today has a desire also to teach, because we can find this heresy all around us in the days that we are living in. But congregation, it is a doctrine that is only acceptable to those who are proud. It is a doctrine that is only acceptable to those who are self-sufficient. It is a doctrine that is only acceptable to those who are exalting themselves and denying our deep fall in paradise and our complete spiritual inability. What does a poor, what does a helpless, what does an undone sinner have in a Christ who is not divine? What has one who is so helpless in himself and that is not able to give salvation unto himself have in a Christ who is but a mere example? Shall we then follow an example which is good and so bring ourselves into that kingdom of God? Or have we ever learned the futility of such a way? Have we ever been brought to the end of that law? Shall we exert, congregation, our own weakness? Shall we consult our own ignorance? Shall we trust in our own unrighteousness? And shall we be saved in such a way? What a poverty. How discouraging. A doctrine to an afflicted and a poor people, when they may no longer trust in that name of the Lord, and when there is no divinity, when there is no power, when there is no strength from the side of God. What a wonder. And that we read in the Holy Scriptures something that is so, so different. And thereby that gospel that is becoming good news to those not who are self-righteous, but those who are lost in themselves. And then it is not man, congregation, but it is God Himself who has declared His Son to be the Son of God. So we hear it in His baptism. Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So the disciples have heard it when He has spoken in the transfiguration of His own Son. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him. Thus, it comes even from the mouth of God the Father. We hear it as the testimony also of the Lord Jesus Himself. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There is the hope of that true, tried church of God. And it is in the experience of that people, and that that might of that mediator, that might of the Son of God, that is a
divine might, working a miracle congregation that we cannot work within ourselves and within our children. And therefore the testimony also of that church of God that is declaring also that same concerning that divine strength of that blessed Son of God, Peter. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, Nathanael. Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Martha, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. It is even the devil. Even the devil has been forced to testify of the divinity of that blessed mediator. What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? And the devil was so afraid of the Lord Jesus. We read that the devil besought the Lord Jesus. Why? He had no strength over the Lord Jesus as he has strength over mankind who is left over by the Lord unto the devil. And who has more strength, congregation, than the devil? That is only God himself. And it is outside of this strength, this divine strength, and that the Lord Jesus could never have delivered that church of God. Oh, do you see what is the testimony of man when he rejects that divinity of the Son of God and he's seeking to be saved then in his own strength? Oh, then it is a denial of our spiritual death. But why is Christ called the only begotten Son of God, since we are also the children of God? Thus, not only is Christ called the Son of God, but others are also called the Son of God. We read it in different places in Job 38, when the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Do you know who that was, boys and girls? The sons of God. That is speaking here about the angels. So sometimes the Lord calls in his word the angels the sons of God. We read of Adam. He is the Son of God by creation, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. Malachi writes that we all have one Father. One God created us. Thus he is calling all men actually in the world the sons of God, being of one Father. Asaph writes of magistrates, all of you are children of the Most High. So in a very special way we read in the Bible of the magistrates in this world, that they are the sons of God. They are set there in their office by the Lord himself. Therefore we are to obey them. But especially God's children are called sons of God. Children of God throughout the scripture. Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And in many other places. But why is Christ called the only begotten Son of God, since we also are the children of God? Thus, there is a difference, because we read Christ alone is the eternal and natural Son of God, but we are children adopted of God by Christ for his sake. Thus, Christ, he says
is the eternal Son of God, that is, from eternity unto eternity. When did Christ become the Son of God? He did not become the Son of God in the creation of the world. He is not a created being. Did he become, boys and girls, the Son of God when he came into this world in his incarnation as a little baby, as an infant? Did he then become the Son of God? No. No, he always was the Son of God. He became then the Son of Mary. He became then the Son of Man. That was new. Thus, returning to his place, in that sense, with something more, that was more than his divinity, that he returned to his place also with our humanity, but from the beginning, being the Son of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But we also read many times in the Scriptures that he is called, as we read here, the only begotten Son of God. John says, we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son of God. How can that be? That he is called the only begotten Son of God, when others, as we have just heard, others in the world are also called the sons of God. That is because they are sons of God in a completely different manner. In his human nature, we read in the Bible, the Lord Jesus has brethren, brothers, brothers of the human nature. Therefore, all of his brethren, they are also called the sons of God. It behooved him in all things to be made like unto his brethren. But that is in his human nature only. In his divine nature, he has no brethren. But he is the only begotten Son of God. God's people are also called the children of God. But they were not always called the children of God. It was not before the creation. And they are also not called the children of God anymore after the fall. However, his elect, who are loved from eternity, we read in the Bible, loved with an everlasting love. And they, lying yet under that seal of election, yet in their birth in this world, we read that they are by nature even as others. And that even as others, Paul says, what is that? That is children of wrath. He says not children of God, no. But he says children of wrath. Then he speaks not of those that shall be one day damned, no, but those who shall be one day saved. Those who are elect, but born into this world, not as children of God, no, but as children of wrath. Then we cannot call them the sons of God. But as we have heard from Hosea, the Lord says, and it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God. Thus there must come a day in the life of the elect that they become from a child of wrath into a child of God, unto a son of God. Does that mean that they can in that day call themselves the sons of God? No. Young people, listen a moment. You will hear, if you listen in your life, in the world that we are living in, very strange things. When you will have a little brother or sister born in your house, then he is not born talking. He is not born saying, I know that this is my father and that is my mother and that I am their child. That is not natural. When a child is born, what does he do? He can only cry. And hunger and thirst. Does he experience in his life the love of his mother, of his father? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. When he is fed, when he is held in the arms, when he is crying, comforted by mother, father, then he may experience something if the reality of being a child, most certainly. But he is not able to express that he is a child. He is not able to say this. He is not brought yet to such a knowledge. He is not mature enough for this. And now we live in a day that men are born talking. You follow what I mean? That means that they are regenerated, supposedly, and they are able to say immediately that now they are the sons, now they are the children of the Lord. But young people, I hope you can hear immediately from the beginning that there is something wrong. It is completely unnatural in this life, and it is not the reality of that true spiritual life. Know when the Lord in the day of regeneration is cutting that people off from Adam and he is engrafting that people into the Lord Jesus Christ, then he is actually in reality restoring in those his children in that day the image of God in knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. Actually to make them a partaker of the divine nature. And that is why our instructors, they say we are the children adopted of God by grace for Christ's sake. That is a great wonder. To become a child when we were no child. That is a great wonder to be brought into the family of that true church of God. And then just as an infant, we don't know anything of it. But in that moment, we actually become an heir. An heir. That means in that moment, then we receive all the rights and all the privileges of a child.
They indeed shall be given unto every one of those children.
But our instructors here are not speaking from the viewpoint of an infant, but they are speaking from the viewpoint of a child that has become more mature. Thus, they speak from the viewpoint of one that has received the knowledge of his sonship. We are children adopted of God by grace for his sake. How many in our days are really able to say this congregation upon good grounds? Now, we do not say that many cannot say it and do not say it at all. No, many speak of this, that God is my Father. But what is the foundation for such a statement? How do we know that God is our Father? How do we know that we are indeed one of his children? Then that needs to be made known unto us by the Lord himself. Then it is a conscious knowledge of the adoption of sons that is not given to every one of his children. But it is a blessing, people of the Lord, that ought to be sought after for all of the comfort that lies in it, but also for the honor that it gives unto the Father. Paul says, the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. Thus, there is a knowledge that is attainable in this life. Then it is not, as others say, that we cannot know that we are one of God's children. No, that is an attainable knowledge. That is a knowledge that the Lord is able to give unto his children. It is a knowledge that the Lord is speaking unto his children, and then in a special way in the cutting off of the life of man. In the consciousness of that engrafting, taking place as we heard a little in this morning in the court of the conscience. In Isaiah 43, we read that the Lord, he speaks, he says, but now thus saith the Lord, that formed, that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. Oh, for that David, that man after the heart of God, he besought the Lord. He says, Lord, say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. O Lord, may I know it that I am one of thy own children. How is it with the exercises in your life, people of the Lord? Because that is a people that will come undoubtedly to that understanding of what our instructors are also saying here, children adopted of God by grace for his sake. Thus, not by rights, no. But a people have to lose all of their rights, and that may be adopted and brought into that family of God only by free and sovereign grace. And what is that? Oh, grace that is shown, congregation, only to those who are unworthy. And therefore, he says also, not for our sake, but he says, for his sake. Oh, did you ever learn that the Lord cannot convert us for our sake?
The Lord says, I do it not for your sakes, O house of Israel. Be it known unto you. I do it not for your sakes, but I do it for mine own name's sake. Oh, how can that be? Can we add anything unto the Lord? Oh, how can it be? Can it be of some profit unto the Lord? It is congregation, His good pleasure. And it will be for His sake, because it will be for His honor and for His glory. It will be for His sake, because He will receive His inheritance. And He is going to receive a people that are going to serve Him. But let us sing first Psalter 280. 280 stanzas 1, 3, and 4. O my soul, bless thou Jehovah. All within me bless His name. Bless Jehovah, and forget not all His mercies to proclaim. He forgives all thy transgressions, heals thy sicknesses and pains. He redeems thee from destruction, and His love thy life sustains. 1, 3, and 4 of Psalter 280.
Wherefore callest thou him our Lord? What congregation is a Lord? A Lord has a right. The Lord has a claim upon something. And when we call someone Lord, then by calling him Lord, we are acknowledging that he has a right, that he has a claim upon this thing. And the scriptures, then we hear about the Lord of the vineyard, for example, or the Lord of his servant, the Lord of a household. These have the right of property. Wherefore callest thou him our Lord? God himself is Lord over all the creation. He has a right unto his creation. The creation is his own property. Do we ever acknowledge this? We often say, Lord. But do we ever call him Lord out of more than form, out of more than custom, in acknowledging that we are actually the property of the Lord? Do we ever call him Lord with a feeling realization that he is the Lord of the whole universe and of me too? That without his will that I cannot so much as move. That he has the power over all men, over all angels, over all the devils. Do we ever call him Lord with a desire to enter into his service? Do we ever call him Lord with a grief that we have left him in paradise? But our instructors are actually not speaking here about God in general being called Lord, but they are speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus, the second person of the divine Trinity, wherefore callest thou him our Lord? Thus, Christ is called Lord in a very special way. And that is because God the Father has made him Lord. God the Father has set him in his ascension at his own right hand. And God the Father has put the government in of the whole world into the hands of the Son until that last day when we read that he will give it back again into the hands of his Father. Paul says, for he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifested that he is accepted which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Thus, the second person made by his Father Lord over the whole earth, also over the enemies of God. But when our instructors are here speaking, they say, wherefore callest thou him our Lord? Actually, they are speaking in a special way, yes, about the Son, but also about the Church of God. Why is it that that Church of God calls him Lord? That is because he has a special right, he has a special claim upon his own church. And where does that right, that special claim come from? That is a right which he has earned. It is a people whom the Lord, the second person has bought because he hath redeemed us, both soul and body, from all our sins, not with gold and silver, but with his precious blood, and hath delivered us from all the power of the devil, and thus hath made us his own property. Thus, the people of the Lord, in a special way, the property of Christ, they are received by Christ out of the hand of his Father. That is, as a reward upon his labors. The Lord Jesus has been promised by his Father an inheritance. And what is that inheritance? The Father has promised him a seed which shall serve him. And therefore, we have read before that it is for his sake, the salvation of the church of God, for his sake, because it will be a seed which shall serve him, his inheritance. Actually, that is the right of redemption. What is that? Well, by that law, the Lord has made it possible for a relative to redeem his brother. What is that? When they were poor, then sometimes they sold themselves as a slave. Then they labored for 6 years for their own brethren, for another, or until the year of Jubilee when they were let go free. But then it was possible before that time that a relative would buy them back, would pay for their freedom. And it is this law that the Lord is using to describe the work of his only begotten Son. That is, that it is applied to Christ in respect unto his own church. Thus he is called the Redeemer of his people. In the deep fall, having sold themselves unto the devil to become the slaves of sin, Paul says, I am carnal, sold under sin. And they have come under the dominion, they have come under the power, they have come under the slavery of Satan, with no power to redeem themselves. And it was for this purpose that the Lord Jesus was sent unto the world, to redeem his people, to buy them back from that slavery, suffering, dying upon the cross, to pay that price for sin, and to redeem his people, blotting out that handwriting of ordinances that was against them, which was contrary to them, nailing it onto his cross. Can the devil not touch that people anymore? Only by permission, as far as the Lord will allow it to go, as we can read it in the life of Job. The Lord permits the devil to touch them sometimes, the enemy, but it is the chastising hand of the Lord, because they remain the property of Christ. That is actually the apple of his eye. Congregation, that redemption price that was not paid for the whole world. It is a redemption price that was paid for his own people. Was it paid for you? how do we know whether that redemption price is paid for us? Well, what does the Lord say? He says, ye shall know them by their fruits. And what do our instructors speak about out of the Word of God? They speak about two things. They speak first about that name of Son. Thus, have you ever been made a child? Was there ever a spiritual hunger? Was there ever a spiritual thirst? Was there ever a desire to come back into a former relation? That is, that we may become the sons of God. Because when we become a child has love for his father, for his mother. Now we may ask you, congregation, and you may say that between the Lord and your soul in this afternoon, has the Lord ever planted love in your heart for that God whom you have left in paradise? How do I know if there is love in my heart for him? That is not hard, is it, boys and girls? How do you know there is love in your heart for your mother and your father? What will happen when you sin against them? Then you will feel sadness in your heart. Because of that love, because you have grieved them, that is an evidence of love, that is an evidence of childhood. And congregation, then maybe then that you cannot say yet, he is my father. But then there is a testimony in your heart of the experience of a child. Congregation, are you also a child? There is a second thing. Our instructors, they have spoken about the children, the sons. They have also spoken about his name being Lord. Or when he is Lord, what does that mean? Well, then we will experience something of a desire to serve him. Then we will begin to acknowledge that we are not our own. Oh, then there is a desire. And that service to live after all the commandments of the Lord. That is the desire to please him, as the desire of a servant to please his master. And there is a love for the Lord. There is a love for his day, his service, his people, his institutions. Congregation, are we also a child? Or is he also our Lord? Then it will be experienced in our life the impossibility of fulfilling what lies in our heart. That service, oh, if I could only, that people say, if I could only live a different life. If my heart would only be inclined unto that service of the Lord more, And if we would not be so attached to all that is carnal, that this world would not live so evidently in my heart. That was the burden of Paul. The good that I would, I do not. And the evil that I would not, that I do. Then maybe you don't dare to say, He is my Lord. But then you have a testimony in your own heart. The congregation, blessed people. Because when we are a child, then the Father will never, ever forsake His own child. And the Lord will forever rule over His own servants to keep them from going so far astray as is the fear of the heart of that people, to keep them from going back completely into that way of destruction. Blessed people. But when we now may experience in our heart the evidences of being a child and of Him being our Lord, oh, then may there be a desire that we may also come to that place where we may be able to say that He is my Lord, and that we may hear it from His own mouth, that I am His child, and that we may be able to say that the Lord is my God. That is to His honor and to the comfort of His church. May it be our portion. Amen. O Lord, once again we try to come to Thee. Wilt Thou bless Thy word? Thou who art the witness, oh, be not the silent witness, but wilt Thou be the speaking witness in the midst of us. Give thought and meditation thereon this day further. Bring us safely home. Give us to keep Thy day holy. And wilt Thou be with all those Thy servants and office bearers that lead services in this evening, and those that may hear, may Thou give Thy blessing. Come, Lord, be with us in this week to come. Help us in all the labors of our hands, each one of us in our place. Give us a feeling realization that Thou art Lord, and a desire that we may be Thy child. We ask it in the forgiveness of all that is sinful, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 386, stanzas 1 through 4. O Lord, make haste to hear my cry. To Thee I call, on Thee rely. Incline to me a gracious ear, and when I call, in mercy hear. 1 through 4 of Psalter 386. Thank you.
my plea. Then let my prayer as incense rise to God enthroned above the skies.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.